over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. I'll start reading verse 49 today of Luke 9, 49. If you are willing and able, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God as our custom here is. Luke 9 and 49. John answered and said, Master, by the way, he is Master. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and was forbade him. We forbade him, because he followeth not with us. Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. You don't have to have a Baptist sign on the front of your church to have God hanging around. But I am a Baptist by Bible convictions this morning of how I believe. You always remember this. Jesus said, if they not against us, then they for us. So be careful with your judgmental attitude. You may be surprised when you get to heaven who's there and who ain't there. So it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He is headed to Calvary. He sent messengers before his face. They went, entered the village of Samaritans to make ready for it. They did not receive him because his face was as though he had go to Jerusalem. He had Calvary on his mind. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Said, Lord, we don't like this crowd standing against you. Said, we can solve it in just a second. I like people having both feet in. Somebody say, matter of fact, some of y'all need to quit straddling the fence and get in for the Lord Jesus this morning. I mean, they took Jesus serious. Said, Lord, we want you to know we'll solve this crowd against you. So he turned and rebuked them in 55 and said, You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. That reminds me, I need to keep the right kind of spirit in this day and this hour. It's hard for me to keep the right kind of spirit when folks can march down the streets, knock out windows, and be a bunch of thugs. And nobody got an issue with that crowd, but they got a crowd when somebody assembled at the house of God. It's hard for me to stay in that right kind of spirit. He turned and rebuked them and said, Y'all boys, watch your spirit. The Son of Man's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Thank God He come to save us. They went to another village. Now, this is where I want to preach out of 57 to 62. Came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes got holes, birds there have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. He said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. Go down, preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, thank you for your mercy and your touch. Thank you for your grace in this hour, this day. We want to pray for America today, our president, our nation, God, we need you. God, our churches need you. And God, our families need you. And my family needs you. And I'm thankful you're a God we can run to. Now, Lord, I pray you let preaching be easy a few minutes. Help me to be a blessing to your people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I want to bring you a Bible lesson this morning. I want you to look at a notation that I've really never noticed. Here you'll see in verse number 59, he said to another, follow me. This is the Lord speaking to a man has met him on Calvary Road. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Then you'll notice the third stranger that's walking on the road with Christ in verse 61. Another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. And this is what I want to preach on this morning. Me or the Master? Me or the Master? You'll notice that there's three characters appear on the pages of the Bible as Christ is headed to Calvary. There's one comes to him and said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I want to say something. I'm glad God will let volunteers in this morning. Jesus didn't give him an invitation, but he volunteered. He said, Lord, I want to tell you, I'll follow you wherever you go. Can I tell you, it's all right to volunteer in the family of God. It's all right to volunteer to be in God's army. I'm glad God uses volunteers this morning. If I was in Tennessee, I'd preach on it's all right to be a volunteer. Somebody say amen. So he volunteered. But in this passage, you'll notice two use this phrase, me first. Underline it. Verse 59, me first. Verse 61, let me first. And I want to preach on me or the Master. First of all, you'll notice there's a description in verse 57. Christ is headed to Calvary. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head. Can I tell you, there's a lot of nights the Lord Jesus slept out in the open grounds and woke up with his hair wet with the dew of this wonderful heaven that was above him. God left the palaces of heaven. He came in this old world. He walked as a man. He was born of a virgin woman, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He walked through this world in them old dirty roads for your sin and my sin. He said, I want to get the story straight. I don't have nothing here, but I won't let you in on. I read the back of the Bible. He's got a whole lot where I'm headed this morning. Thank God we might not have a lot here, but I'm glad I'm headed to the city where the builder and maker's God this morning. So we see this description. The Lord is walking to Calvary. He's walking to Calvary and these three men appear. A lot of men, they've made gestures and judgment about these three men, but I want to say something. This is not about going to heaven. This is about a closer walk with Jesus. You see, we can't work our way into heaven. We're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's Christ's finished work at Calvary. If we go to heaven, we're going because the blood of Christ and the righteousness by God's Son has been applied to us. So, here this morning, salvation is by grace, but rewards are by service. These people, whether they followed Christ, we don't know, but we do know what the Bible says. There was a description. And then in verse 57 and 58, there was a discussion. And look what happens. Came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to say something. Be careful what you tell the Lord. Be careful what you tell somebody else, because this man was very quick to jump at judgment about what he was going to do. And so in this discussion, you'll notice that he volunteers. He said, "Now, Lord," he said, "I'll follow you whithersoever you'll go." And then Jesus replies, he said, "Well, I want to remind you about something. If you follow me, you might not have riches." I hear a lot of the boys on TV preaching health and wealth, prosperity gospel. And I want to say it does pay to serve God. But just because you love God don't mean that you're going to be filled with riches. So Jesus said, let's get this thing settled. You'll notice that this first person, Jesus talked about his facilities. He said, now, you need to think about something now. If you serve me, you might not be filled with all these furnishings and these facilities. So this discussion. Then you'll notice Jesus does something in verse 59. He said unto another, the second one, follow me. And I've heard a lot of old preachers that's in heaven this morning preach on this text. You ought to unlock, but he said. I wonder what your excuse is for following Christ. But he said, he said, so the Lord invited him to come and follow him, to get a closer walk with him. He says this, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, the first one in this discussion, you'll see that all three of these, they sort of had a delay. Jesus put something back to them. Now, bear with me, I'm headed someplace, but the first one, Jesus no doubt reminded him about facilities. Then, secondly, Jesus reminded this one about funerals. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He wanted to go back. Now, in this custom, his father necessarily was not dead, but it was the custom of the day that the children would see about their parents until they died, no matter their age. That would be a good custom today. It's sad that mom and daddies have raised children, and then when mom and daddies get of age and they can't do what they used to do, their children chunk them to the curb. Let me tell you, that's still a good policy to practice. See about your family. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. And so Jesus don't have a problem with him going and burying his father. Jesus has a problem with me first. Let me first. See, we're never going to have a closer walk with God when everything's about us. Let me first. Let me first go and bury my father. Well, he may live another 50 or 100 years. Let me ask you something. On the battlefield of Christ, if we were headed to an entrenched warfare, and all of a sudden, all of us hollering and said, "Oh, but me first, let us go," there'd be nobody left on the battlefield. Can I tell you, get close to God and follow Him. He'll take you someplace this morning. So Jesus puts an urgency on following Him. I want to ask you, mom and daddies, have you really put an urgency on following Him? I'm not so much asking you, and I hope that you are. I hope you're washed in the blood by the Lord Jesus. I hope you've been born again by the Spirit of God. I certainly hope the Spirit of God lives in you and you're ready to go to heaven. But this morning, I want to ask you something. Is it me or the Master? Who's first in your life? You or Jesus? Who's first in our daily activities? Me or Jesus? And so we see that there was this delay. Now, you'll notice the first person, Jesus sort of came back to him about facilities. The second one, Jesus rebuked his funerals. But the third one appears on the Bible, and Jesus says something about his farewells. He says in verse 61, the third one appears, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house.
You see, these farewells, he wanted to follow Jesus, but he wanted to be first, and he wanted to go back and be caught up in farewells. He wanted to sort of ease on over there and start following him. But see, in this Bible principle, it teaches us this morning that no man, listen to me, this is one of the greatest statements I've ever heard. I didn't come up with it, but I studied it, wrote it down, I want you to hear. This is one of the best statements I've ever heard about this passage. No man leaves sin little by little. You've got to turn your back on it and walk toward Christ. You say, well, I'm going to quit that. You won't do it little by little. You got to make up your mind and your heart. I'm done with that. And you got to turn and you got to walk toward Jesus. Jesus said, we ain't got time for no farewells. He said, you'll go back down there to that crowd and you'll tell them you're going to start following me and they'll talk you out of it. You'll go down there and say, look, I'm not hanging around with y'all anymore. I'm going to go follow Jesus. And then they start all this trash talk. So it tells me that it is an urgent situation to follow Jesus. Now, we know that there are many people, no doubt, have been saved by the grace of God, but they're not walking too close with Him. I won't judge these characters. I just want to preach the Bible and tell you this. Is it me or the Master? Now, isn't it amazing? They said, verse 59, me first. Then the third one said, verse 61, but let me first. I won't say Liberty Baptist, sir. There's no room for a me first ministry. Has God ever asked you to do something and you said, that's real inconvenient? I notice walking by faith, it's never convenient. Anything God has ever asked me to do, it's never been convenient. And I could never get close to Him long as I was between He and I. Me first. What about my career? What about my money, Lord? What about my house? What about my tractor? What about my lawnmower? What about my friends? So here, me or the Master, you'll see there is a description. Jesus is walking to Calvary to be crucified, and these three men come to Him, and now there is a discussion. And we've all seen there was a delay. There was a delay. But then I want to get down here. We want to preach at this a minute. In verse 62, Jesus said something that raised my attention. So Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, we know that Jesus is not talking about living a sinless life in order to make it to heaven. There's nobody in this building can live a day in this world without having a wrong thought and committing a sin in your mind. It's impossible for you to do it. It's impossible. Now, you may think you're that close, but if you really think you're that close, you better be reading your Bible and just really see how wicked you really are. Jesus is talking about discipleship. Jesus is talking about going to a new level with Him. It's sort of like on Thanksgiving. Instead of having chicken and dressing, and ham and turkey, you have a peanut butter sandwich. It's a big difference. So now let's look at this, what Jesus said. Me or the Master. Now, let's look at not only this delay, but let's look now at distractions. Distractions. Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't do the Master's work looking back. I want to ask you, Mom and Daddy, something today. Is your family worth plowing for? Is your life worth plowing for? Is your children worth plowing for? Now, plowing is hard work. I can remember as a little kid,
in Tennessee. I had an old-fashioned grandpa. He wore a white sleeve shirt, overalls, broke-in shoes, had on a felt hat. I'd be a little old kid about Parker's age, and I'd get out in the fence row, Brother David, and he'd get on that plow stock, and he'd grab a hold of it, and them fields out in Middle Tennessee as a little old boy, yeah, you couldn't even hardly see the end of it. This is what he'd do. He'd say, yep. And he'd start walking with that plow. And you know something? He wasn't pushing the plow. He'd just walking behind it. You know why? Because he was hooked up. And if you'll get hooked up with the Spirit of God, He'll let you plow ground like you've never plowed before. And you won't have to push the plow. You just have to hold on to it and walk. Now, it was hard work. Hard work. I'm talking about son got up. And Granny Lamb in the country, we didn't have those high-priced thermoses that all our kids got. Them Yeti coolers, they didn't exist in the 60s. Somebody say amen. So she'd take a mayonnaise jar, pack it full of ice and water. She'd put a brown paper bag around it and put it. I'd carry it, and he'd say, son, set that in the shade. I'd set it over in the shade, Brother Randall. And he'd get at the end of the road, and he'd come back, and he'd say, whoa. He'd take them lines, he'd tie them around that plow saw, he'd say, son, go bring me some water. Man, I'd grab that jug, Brother Adam. I'd take that bag, and this is what he'd do. He'd pull his hat up, and he'd pull that brown bag down. He'd unloosen that mayonnaise top. Now, don't judge my granddaddy now. He dipped sweet dental Bruton snuff. When he'd load his lip, he'd just fog the whole living room with it. Somebody say amen. Brother Randall, he'd take that first jug. He'd throw that hat back, and he'd pull that water up, and he'd rinse his mouth out, and he'd spit. It'd do some of y'all good to rinse your mouth out this morning. Somebody say amen. I mean, get you a good Holy Ghost mouthful and slosh it real good and get your mouth cleaned out. Then he'd turn that thing up and he'd kill it. He'd put the top on it and set it back in that sack. He'd say, son, go see Nanny, give me some more water. He'd say, hup. And he'd just keep a plowing. You say, well, preacher, let me tell you something. Plowing. Yeah, I want to talk about plowing at home a minute. You know, some of you ladies, a lot of times, as we sang the song this morning, again this morning, we face the devil. Isn't that true? Every day we get up and life is hard. Life is a battle. Let me tell you something. Getting saved won't cost you nothing, because that price has been paid at Calvary. But for you to live a Christian will cost you something. So some of you ladies at home, you're washing dishes and nobody cares. Just keep plowing. You're getting these little babies in the tub, getting them ready. Nobody's caring. They hollering. Ain't nobody got no towels clean and there's nothing right. You finally get them slapped in the bed and sat down. Can I tell you, don't quit plowing. Daddy, going down on your job in the morning, you get in your car early and you go down there and you work all day and the boss is screaming and hollering and you think, well, he don't know what he's talking about. Just keep a plowing. Just keep look. Don't let the distractions of life make you turn around and get off course. Just keep a plowing. Mom and Daddy, just keep a plowing for your family. Liberty Baptist Church, it don't matter how hard it gets nor how crazy this world gets. We got a heaven to gain and a master to serve. And just let us keep plowing. Keep your head straight forward and keep plowing for the honor and the glory of God. There was this feller, never had done no plowing. Put him in a big old field down in South Georgia. He looked, and biggest field he'd ever seen. Old man said, they said you come to work today and you know how to plow. And he said, yes, sir, I can plow. He said, well, you set this tractor, you plow them rows straight, and I'll come check on you directly. We come back a little bit, and them rows, some of them was off 40 feet.
The old man walked up to the tractor and he said, "Young man, I thought you knowed about plowing." He said, "Well, something really bothered me." He said, "I noticed these rows that I started in was real straight, but I just couldn't make them like that." He said, "Would you tell me your secret, how you plowed a straight row in this big long field?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I meant to tell you before you got started." So you set big tree out yonder at the end of the field. He said, "If you just keep your eyes on that tree, just keep a plowing. Just keep a plowing. Don't look back. Don't get distracted. Somebody say something to you. Don't give them time of day. Just be good to them. Keep your head forward and keep on plowing. Keep going toward that tree, preacher. I ain't got a tree." Oh, we've got a tree of trees. It's called Calvary, where the precious Son of God hung and died for your sin and my sin. Just keep plowing toward the tree this morning. Well, there's been many times at Liberty Baptist Church, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to do this a few mornings, but I've got that tree set as my focus. And that's where I'm headed, toward Calvary. Every message I preach, you know where I'm landing? At Calvary. Every day when I turn the lights off by my bed, it's been because of one thing, the grace of Calvary. That saved me, changed my life. God has been so good to me. Don't get distracted. You ever notice this when you plow in new ground? You ever hit something that wouldn't move? I mean, you just hit it, a stump, and it won't move. I mean, in your life, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your raising children, you're just hitting things and a plow stops and it won't go. Just keep plowing. Keep plowing. Keep plowing. Don't get distracted. Don't look back. Just keep looking forward. You know, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived had this to say this morning. And I found it before I came to church. By the way, I love coming to church. Do you love coming to church? It's in Philippians 3:13. And I'll be done preaching. Philippians 3:13. I want you to look at what one of the greatest preachers that ever lived behind Christ had to say. In Philippians 3:13. He said, "Brethren, account not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." Look what he says. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Distractions. Sounds like to me here Paul is speaking about determination. You've got to determine in your heart that you're going to be a disciple of Christ. No matter the distractions, no matter what people are saying. I think a lot of times people, they start to follow Christ, they hit hard times, and they get to thinking, well, they're so special that hard things can't come to them. Just because me and you love Christ and we are His disciples, it doesn't mean that hard times won't come. But I'm here to tell you, there's somebody that'll get into hard times with you. You've tried everything else. Why don't you try God? Keep plowing. Me or the Master? Me or the Master? Me first, Lord. You know, I've noticed this. The times that God has used me the most, I had to get me out of the way of it. God has asked me to do some hard things in my life. But by His grace, through some of those situations, I've trusted Him. And let me tell you something. If He's pulling the plow, it sure is a lot easier just to follow it. You see, our determination, there's a heaven to be gained. There's a reward to receive. There's dreams to be fulfilled. Some of you need to dream again. There's a finish line to cross. There's enemies to be defeated. There's victories to be won. There's a church to be built. There's a harvest to be reaped and a world to be evangelized and a kingdom to be established. Press on. It won't be long. You ever get distracted? You know, one of the biggest distractions in our day, in our era, everybody in the building probably brought one in today. It's a great distraction. People, pains, a lot of distraction. Look toward Jesus. Mama, when nobody else cares, just keep looking toward Jesus. Just keep plowing with them babies. Daddy down the job, just keep plowing. Just keep plowing. I got to use this. I don't think Brother Lee would mind it. Brother Lee had one of the greatest mom and daddies I've ever met. They went to church here. They're both in heaven this morning. Brother Lee had one of the most humblest daddies I've ever met in my life. Miss Orion, she is like me. She had a sixth gear. You didn't wonder what side of the fence she is on. You know. Me and Renee was over there visiting one day, and we got talking about it, said, "Do y'all ever fuss?" And Brother Grover, Brother Lee's daddy, said, "Well, preacher," he said, "sometimes it gets a little heated in here. I go outside and I sit down on a back porch step." And I think he called her Ma. Said, "She'll go to the sink and raise up the window and bark at me through the window." I'm glad they kept plowing. I'm glad they kept plowing.
Yes.
So many excuses. The devil will give you so many ways out. But we must make up our mind. Listen to me. Some of you are struggling with sin in your life. Listen to you, preacher. I don't judge you. I'm a man of light flesh. I have temptations and worldly appetites just like you. I've got to keep myself. But listen to me this morning. You'll never leave sin little by little. You've got to turn your back on it. Follow Jesus. Miss Sherry, you come this morning.